Do modern Americans need to recommit ourselves to the principles of the Declaration of Independence, our nation's founding document? Recently, we celebrated the 250th anniversary of the acceptance of the Declaration by voice vote on July 4, 1776. This month, which is, we're recording this now, August 2026, we celebrate the signing of same by the delegates who were able to return to Philadelphia in early August 1776. So to honor the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration, which began on August 2, 1776, there was a webinar recently involving many historians and Christian leaders. Yours truly was able to participate in this, as were many others. I should say that Paul Jaley and Mark Belisles organized this. Now, one of the scholars included Stephen McDowell, co-founder and president of Providence Foundation based in Charlottesville, Virginia. You can watch the event online, and I'll put a link there and tell you where Stephen McDowell's appearance comes in. In the meantime, what we want to talk about is the commitments Americans need to kind of renew, in effect, our belief in what the Declaration of Independence says. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point. And Stephen McDowell, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. For a starting point, just say something, if you would, about that recent event. And again, I was very privileged. You were in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia, which was founded by Thomas Jefferson, the chief author of the Declaration of Independence. I was in Plymouth, Massachusetts, sitting next to Paul Jaley. It's my understanding, since you were sitting next to Mark Belisles, it's my understanding that those two gentlemen are the ones who kind of, this is their brainchild, but they got all kinds of people participating, including you and me and Kirk Cameron and Bill Federer and David Barton and David Barton's son, Tom Barton, and Gary Amos, and all kinds of other people as well. Your comments from your perspective?
Yeah, it was a great way to remember the founding covenant of the United States of America, because, you know, as you've discussed, I'm sure on many of your programs, the birth of America was unique in the history of the world, that the world had seen no nation really built upon Christian self-government, with recognizing many God-given rights and liberties that we possess. And so this program on August the 2nd, which people can go and watch at any time, helps to summarize those important founding principles, the motivation of the founders of America, the motivation of Thomas Jefferson, who was the chief architect of the Declaration of Independence. And so it's vital for Americans to understand the founding ideas of our nation, because if we reject the ideas, we reject the source of those ideas, we'll become like all the other nations in history, centered around man's great wisdom, and that doesn't turn out to be too good. But our nation was built upon biblical truth, biblical ideas, which is good seed that produced good fruit.
Interesting. Thomas Jefferson himself, and by the way, Jefferson later had some flaky ideas as far as theology and so forth, but when he was of great value to the Republic and the founding of the Republic, he was by all outward appearances a professing Christian. But here's one of his quotes, and I think this is really critical. He said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time, and can the liberties of a nation be secure if we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" And basically what he's saying is we cannot sustain this experiment in self-liberty under God if we remove the idea that there is a God.
Exactly. That, you know, Thomas Jefferson, who was one of the least Christian of our founders, we might say, he knew and believed God was the source of our rights and liberties. You know, in another letter he wrote, you were quoting from his book, The Notes on the State of Virginia. Some years later, he wrote a letter in 1817 and spoke of the same foundation. He said that the evidence of our right to life, liberty, the use of our faculties, the pursuit of happiness, is not left to the feeble and sophistical investigations of reason. In other words, reason is not the source of how he came up with these rights. And then he said this. He said, "We do not claim these under the charter of kings or legislators, but under the King of Kings." Now, this is Jefferson. He said the source of our life, liberty, property, our rights, not man, not governments, not our own reason, but the King of Kings. And so this is not the Thomas Jefferson the modern academicians kind of try to paint of him, but he reflected the view of just almost everybody in early America. They understood that we have God-given rights and liberties, and as you, the quote you made, if we forget that, if we don't know that, we'll lose them all, and that's what's been happening in recent times in the United States.
Now, when you were on that webinar, you said there were three things that modern Americans should heed from Thomas Jefferson. Perhaps you've already touched on one of them, but if you want to go ahead and explain, tell us this advice, if we would, from Thomas Jefferson himself that modern America needs to hear.
Yeah, the first bit of advice we were just discussing, that Jefferson believed God was the source of our rights and liberties. The second
Forgive me, but let me stop you real fast. That our rights come from God. Oh, well, Jefferson, did he believe in the God of the Bible? Is that the God we're talking about?
It certainly is, because he claimed to be a Christian. He started a church. He called it the Calvinistic Reformed Church of Charlottesville, met in the courthouse in Charlottesville from 1777 to 1784. He was the champion of religious dissenters, those that weren't a part of the established church, believing that we have the right to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. And we could go on. And of course, you've written about this and over the years that Jefferson, when he spoke of religion, he was reflecting his experience, which was a lifelong member of the church. He was and by the way, when he was president of the United States, he went to church in the Capitol building. 2 days after he wrote his famous Danbury Baptist letter, he got on his horse and rode down Pennsylvania Avenue and went to church in the Capitol, and which he attended many times. And so when you get to know Jefferson and what he really did, there's no way that you can claim his belief was anything but Christian. Publicly, he never denied anything about the Christian faith. As you pointed out, later in his life, he expressed some doubts of the deity of Christ, but he was reflecting some ideas of the Second Great Awakening preachers who were saying, let's get back to the pure doctrines of the Christian faith from the first century. But, go read your book, go read the book Mark did, go read a number of other books people have written to explore that. So yes, he believed the God he was speaking of is the God of the Bible. That was the source of our rights and liberties. In fact, the other two points help make this clear. Another point of advice Jefferson would give is he believed God in his providence gave birth to America. The founders, all of them, just about universally believed in the providence of God. What is that? It's that God's superintending care over his creation. God is actively involved in not only individual lives, but in the course of history. And in particular, as Jefferson wrote in a letter in 1826, he said, for that memorable instrument. He's talking about the Declaration of Independence that we're celebrating the 250th anniversary.
Now here, this quote you're about to give us is from the very day or the very time he died. He died on July 4th, 1826. But go ahead.
Yeah. So just a month before he died. But he said, for that memorable instrument, speaking of the Declaration, we owe indeed particular thanks to Providence. And so he was saying that the reason we have the Declaration, the reason we have the United States is due to the providence of God. So he, in essence, was saying he believed God kind of was using him as an instrument to produce that document, which we talk about in this 250th memorial people can go and see, is that he was not the source of the ideas. These ideas had been developed over generations, were understood by Americans that all the ideas, all the biblical ideas in the Declaration of Independence had been preached on from the pulpits. I can give you titles of sermons from generations before that speak of the specific biblical ideas in the Declaration. So he said, we owe thanks to God, to the providence of God, for in particular that document and our independence. And then a third point of advice Jefferson would give us today is that Jefferson prayed for God's blessings to continue on America. So it's not enough for us to recognize God's hand. We need to cry out and pray, Lord, continue to extend your blessing upon us so that we might continue as a nation. In 1823, Jefferson wrote a letter to John Wynn, and he said, for the anniversary of the birthday of our nation, and they were celebrating that anniversary at that time, I guess that's like the 47th anniversary or something. He said, for the anniversary of the birth of our nation, my prayers are offered to heaven that the spirit of the day which gave them birth may continue pure, strong, and imperishable. So he recognized that we need the same spirit of the founding fathers. We need their same understanding as the founding fathers. We need to pray, God, raise up men and women who have the same worldview, the same heart, the same desire and character, the same understanding of liberty and your plan and purpose for man in history. Raise people up like that in our nation today so that we might, you know, remain a free nation. And so he would instruct us to pray. And of course, prayer, it implies that we've got to act to produce such men, raise up such men and women who understand what our founders understood. It's difficult to live free, to live in liberty, and it takes individuals, citizens who are prepared in the correct character and the correct worldview to live free. And the founding generation certainly did that.
Okay, now, obviously, Jefferson later in life did have some serious doubts and so forth about the, you know, core Christian doctrines. And with this, you know, we would not agree with him. What would you say to those who say, look, he took the Bible and he wanted to get the miracles out? And we have about 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, this, the book that has been called the Jefferson Bible is a misnamed entity. When Jefferson loved the moral teachings of Jesus, thought they were the greatest moral teachings in the world. So while he was president, he decided, I want just the teachings of Jesus compiled in one place. So he took four Bibles, different Bibles in four different languages. He cut out the words of Jesus, pasted them in a book for his own personal study. He read the Bible about an hour every night. After Louisiana Territory, and we got a big new area, he did suggest to some missionaries to the Indians, hey, this would make a great tool as a textbook for the Indians, because throughout the history of America, we would convert the natives who lived here, and then we'd teach them, instruct them in the Christian faith, and we'd use the whole Bible. And he thought, well, this teachings of Jesus might be better. So now that we don't, that book, original compilation as president doesn't exist, though we do have the four Bibles that he cut out, so we know it was in them. But he did a later edition of that in the teens, 18 teens, after retiring from the presidency, and that was for his own personal study again. And it was much later, in the late 1800s, when people began to get word of this this document that he produced. One Unitarian minister produced a copy and gave an introduction claiming Jefferson was a Unitarian. But interestingly, I think it was 1895 that the U.S. Congress printed thousands of copies. And for about 10 years or more, every new member of Congress, they would give a copy of the moral teachings and philosophy of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what Jefferson called this compilation. He didn't call it the Jefferson Bible. His intent was not to make his own Bible and put it, take out everything he didn't believe. Some people say it has no miracles, but it does. It's full of miracles and other things, but it's just like the red letter edition. That's what he wanted. And he was motivated because he considered the teachings of Jesus the greatest moral teachings of the world. And by the way, he wrote Benjamin Rush in 1800, his good friend, a devout evangelical Christian, that I am indeed a Christian and that I believe in the teachings of Jesus.
All right, we're out of time. ProvidenceFoundation.com for more information. Stephen McDowell, thank you so much. All the best.
Same to you.